Okay, I've got start time. We get everybody in, we'll get signed in, get going tonight. I've already had several people ask me if I was feeling okay. Oh, okay. Several people asked me if I was feeling all right because you only got one page front and back. I'm feeling fine. Maybe that's, I'm feeling too good. That's why you only got one page. No, there's a picture on the back, and a picture's worth 1,000 words and 6 pages. So there you go. That's my excuse. No, no more pictures on Sunday. Sorry. You do. It's up there. That's the picture. So we'll pray and get started. Father, thank you for your word tonight. Your word becomes real and powerful, a foundation. So, Lord, I pray as we open your word, and we look at the struggle that is in our current culture, you would give us wisdom and discernment about how to communicate this word. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. So I want to begin tonight with the idea of the walking dead. It's kind of a strange way to address it, but and I want to confess, I do not watch that television show, The Walking Dead. I have seen it for about 10 seconds and said, nope, not me. I am not watching that show. I don't want that in my head. I don't want to go to bed at night with that thing in my head of those zombies walking around and all that stuff. So if you're in here and you like that stuff, you can schedule an appointment. I'll talk to you later, okay? That is crazy. So it's zombies, okay? The idea of the walking dead is, it plays upon the idea that there, people could be zombies. They're dead, but they're still upright. They're functional to some degree. And really, that's what we're going to start with tonight. What if I told you that there are zombies all around us every day? They're the walking dead. They are spiritually dead, and yet they're still upright. They're still breathing air, but they're dead. And would it change your perspective on the gospel? Because that's really where this thing goes tonight. The Bible makes it clear that this is our ultimate issue. What? How to go from dead to living. Our ultimate issue. All the other things in this world that we want to spend our time and energy and resources on, none of them are going to matter compared to this issue. How do we resurrect death? How do we turn death into life? How do we turn a zombie into life? So Romans 6:13, let's read this. So do not let any part of your body become an instrument of evil to serve sin. Instead, give yourselves completely to God. Why? Sin versus giving yourselves completely to God. Sin is the zombie. If you remain in your sin, you might be upright, you might be breathing air, you might be going to work, and you might have a bank account, but you're dead. You're dead. It's just the truth. You're just waiting for the final breath. You're dead. There's no resurrection, not for that person. He says this, don't let any part of your body become an instrument of evil to serve sin. Instead, here's the alternative, here's life. Give yourself completely to God. For you were, and here's how he knows this, because you were dead. You were a zombie. You were a walking dead person. But now something changed. Now you have life. So use your whole body as an instrument to do what is right for the glory of God. I am a recovering zombie. I used to be dead, and now I am alive. You were dead. No matter who you are in this room, you can't say, no, you can't call me a zombie. Yeah, I can, because you used to be dead. And then something happened, and here's where we're going. When you can identify what that something is, it becomes treasure. You mean there's something that can turn a walking dead person into a live, eternal live person? Yeah. So I'll ask you a question. can man, any man, raise the dead? No. Can I go to a funeral, a graveyard? Can I go to some situation where somebody has deceased? Can I look at them and say, get up? Hit them on the head, say, breathe there. Can I? No. Can anybody? No. You can't do it. Why? It tells us right there that this is beyond us. It's beyond our abilities. So how do we do it? How can we, if we used to be dead and now we're alive, what's in the middle? If we used to be, it says, for you were dead, but now you have new life. If we used to be dead and now we're alive, what happened? John 5:24. Jesus says, I tell you the truth, those who listen to my message, I'm going to hold it up. Jesus says, I tell you the truth, those who listen to my message and believe in God who sent me have eternal life. They will never be condemned for their sins, for they have already, this is not a future tense event, they have already passed from what? Death to life. They moved over. They went from being a zombie to alive. What was it? What was it? I tell you the truth. By the way, Jesus does that 78 times in the New Testament. I tell you the truth. What are you going to do with the truth? That those who listen to my message and believe in God who sent me. Listen, what message? Don't you think that would be really important to know what that was? Those who listen to my message and believe in God who sent me, they have something. They receive something from the one that can raise the dead, from God. What do they receive? They will never be condemned for their sins. They've already passed from death to life. And I'm gonna say it again. Wherever you came from out in the world today, workplace, school, wherever that might be, you walked around all day long with zombies. There are walking dead people all around you. And unless something happens to introduce them into the message and they believe the message, they will forever be dead. Let me read the NIV version of that same verse. Jesus says, I tell you the truth, whoever hears my words and believes, hears my words. What are his words? I'm reading them to you. Do you believe they're his words? I do. Whoever hears my word and believes him who sent me has eternal life and will not be condemned. He has crossed over. I like the NIV's wording. He's crossed over from death to life. The Bible says very clearly throughout the book of Romans that we are saved by grace through faith. But I'm going to ask you a question, because a lot of Christians still struggle with these fundamentals. I'm saved by grace, which means it's a free gift from God. I didn't call him, he called me. He gave me time to hear. I'm saved by grace through faith. Faith in what? I'm saved by believing. Believing in what? What? What did Jesus say? I tell you the truth. Whoever hears my message and believes me and the one who sent me has eternal life. Now, how in the world would you ever come to that conclusion? Who believes my message? What's the message? Well, it's the gospel. What's the gospel? Verse 16 again, Romans 10. But not all the Israelites accepted the good news. What good news? He's going back to the Old Testament. Not all the Israelites accepted the good news. Who gave them the good news? Well, you might say, well, Moses did. But no, Moses didn't. God gave it through Moses. Not all the Israelites accepted the good news. For Isaiah says, Lord, who has believed our message? What's the good news? It's a message. Who's the messenger? Well, it might have been Moses, but Moses didn't write it. He didn't originate it. God's got a word he gives people. In Israelite day, he gave it through Moses. In our day, how'd you get it? There's a message. Look at verse 17. Consequently, did all the Israelites hear the message? Consequently, faith comes from hearing the message. If you're saved by grace through faith, faith becomes your ticket to life, right? Faith becomes your ticket to life. So how do I get the ticket? Faith comes what? From hearing. Hearing what? The message. And the message is heard through what? The words of Christ, the Word of God. There is a message that gives life. And what would happen if you reject the message that gives life? What would happen? What would happen? You're a zombie, and you will die in your sins. If these words, and I'm referring to John 6:44 right below here. If these words I'm about to read to you are true, then I'm going to ask you a hypothetical question. Why do we preach the word? Why do we preach the message? Why do churches around the world stand up and preach out of this book? Why? Why do we risk everything to preach the word? Why do people go into China and risk their life to preach the word? Why do people go into sneak into North Korea and risk their life to preach the word? Why? If this is true, verse 6:44, Jesus said these words. In fact, he says it twice in the Gospel of John. Kind of revolutionizes my whole approach to the gospel. Jesus says, "For no one can come to me unless the Father who sent me draws them to me. And at the last day, I will raise them up." Now, I want to look at that very carefully. No one can come to Jesus unless the Father draws them to Jesus. So, in other words, let me explain that the way I would explain that. I can't talk you into believing in God. I can't talk you into it. No one. That's not how it works. That's not how it worked with me, and that's not how it worked with you. There's a message. And I don't even know how to tell you, but when the message is preached or delivered or read or whatever, when this message penetrates your ears, penetrates your eyes, enters inside of you, it has the power to do something. It's at the hand and the power of God. No one can come to the Son unless the Father draws him. So how does he do it? I've been reading it to you. How does he draw people to himself? There's a message. There's a word. It might have came from a preacher. It might have came from Moses. It might have came when you just read the book in your bedroom. But what's doing it? No one can come to the Son unless the Father who sent me draws them. And what's the exchange for that? And I will raise them up at the last day. What is that? What's the last day? If you've read this book, you know what that last day is. It's called the resurrection. That's when you're, listen, I want to make this really clear. If you receive Christ, you're born again, you're not a zombie anymore. But you're in a body that's going to die unless he blows the trumpet. The ultimate victory will come when your body is replaced with the eternal body at the resurrection of the last day. That's the promise of God. If it's up to God, if it's up to God, no one can come to the Son unless the Father does it, right? If it's up to God, why do we preach the Bible? If it's up to him anyway, why do I stand up here and preach the Scripture? If it's up to God, then why do we risk everything to get the word out? Because this is the calling of God to the believers in the world. It's because the same book that told me and told you that the message, believing the message gives you life, turns you away from being a zombie. That same word of God says, go into all the world and make disciples. Go preach the gospel. It's the same book, the same message. Now, if you believe that Jesus is who he says he is, you wouldn't just believe and get out of the zombie life. you would believe the rest of it, which says that you are now part of this divine plan of God to stop the zombie apocalypse. You're going to go tell somebody who's dead how to become alive. That doesn't mean you become a preacher. Not necessarily. It does mean you become an extension of God's word. It does mean that. So let me ask everybody a question. How many people have you shared Christ with in the last 6 months? You're walking around zombies every day, and if somebody doesn't intersect, if the word of God doesn't intersect their life, come into them in some way, shape, or form, they're going to die. Or maybe you don't think they're going to die. Or maybe you don't think they're dead right now. Maybe you don't think they are. But I believe in Jesus, it won't hold up. It won't hold up. That line's not going to hold up, because if you believe in Jesus and you believe you have eternal life through faith in Jesus, then you must accept your assignment under the authority of Christ. That what? Here's what he says. You are the light of the world. I'm the light of the world. I can't raise people from the dead, but I'll tell you what. I can tell you how he does it. Can I do that? Can't you do that? I can't raise a single person from the dead. But I can tell that person how they can be raised from the dead. I'll introduce them to the one who turned zombies into living people. Now, I'm going to ask you, do you think that's only my job? Is that only my job? Maybe I have a unique role. I believe preachers, ministers, evangelists, they have a unique role. But we can't get to all the zombies. The people you hung out with this week aren't coming to church Sunday. Anybody hear me? They're not coming to church Sunday. You got them. You live next to them. They're in your family. Some of you say, well, I'm married to a zombie. That's a different story, okay? They're in your world. You're the light of the world. Let your light shine before men that they would see your good works and glorify your Father who is in heaven. And guess what? You're the salt of the earth. What's salt? Salt stops decay. How did your grandparents keep meat without refrigeration? Salt. How'd they do it? Salt stops decay. Stops it. Accident, coincidence, just a nice spiritual analogy? No, it's not any of the above. It's just the way it works. Salt, we are the salt of the earth. We're the spiritual power of God that stops the zombies from dying. So, I've done all of that so that Ken Ham can do this. Let's watch the video together. I'll tell you the part of that video that just my favorite part is when it was revealed that DNA is a language. What makes us us is God's language of life. It's orderly. It comprises a complex order, like language. And what is it the language of? It's the language of life. But the language of life is there to reveal the life giver so that you can have life. But when you reject the life giver and his message that comes to you, you reject life itself. So on that second page, the Apostle Paul gives instructions to Timothy and to the church. In light of this video, this topic tonight, 2 Timothy 4, verse 1. His instruction to Timothy and to the church. So this is to us, individually and corporately as a body. I solemnly urge you in the presence of God and Christ Jesus, who will someday judge the living and the dead, when he appears, not if, but when he appears, he's going to set up his kingdom. What are we supposed to be doing until he appears to set up his kingdom? Preach the word. Why do we want to make this complicated? Preach the word. Preach the word of God. Be prepared whether the time is favorable or not. Patiently correct, rebuke, and encourage your people with good teaching. Let me add something. Tell the zombies. Tell the zombies. Don't call them zombies before you tell them, okay? I need to stick that in there. Just tell the walking dead that there's a way to have life. Use the power of the word. The power of the word. Verse 3. Why is this so urgent? Notice what he says. I solemnly urge you in the presence of God and Christ Jesus. There's a sense of urgency in that sentence. Why? Verse 3, for a time is coming when people will no longer listen to sound and wholesome teaching. There will come a time when, from God's perspective, it won't be able to do it anymore. A time is coming when people will no longer listen to sound and wholesome teaching. They will follow their own evil desires and will look for teachers who will give them whatever their itching ears want to hear. They will reject the truth and chase after myths. I'm convinced that if we preach the word, God will draw people. I want you to listen. Here's my summary tonight. I'm convinced that as a church and individually, if we will honor God's word, if we will communicate clearly God's word, and by the way, you can't give them what you don't have. If you don't know it, you can't tell somebody about it. In fact, if you don't know it, let me ask you, you're probably better off not to tell somebody about it. But I'm convinced that if we will share this message, after receiving it ourselves, we share this message, God will draw people. For no one can come to the Son unless the Father draws. But how does He do it? Through the message. Through the message. Verse 5, but you should keep a clear mind in every situation. And don't be afraid. Don't be afraid that when I bring it up, somebody's going to get mad. Don't be afraid of suffering for the Lord. Work at telling others the good news and fully carry out the ministry God has given you. But I'm going to ask you a question. What if we don't preach the word? What if you don't? What if that person, and I have a feeling, I don't know, but I have a feeling in this room tonight when I bring this up and I talk about this, there's somebody immediately in your mind. There's a zombie, you know. In your family, you work with them. Well, whatever. There's a zombie now. And I'm going to ask you a question. What if you don't? The walking dead will remain dead. And I want to put it like Jesus puts it. Not like I put it, because I believe the word of God has its own power. They will die in their sins. And I'm going to tell you, central to the word of God is a simple truth. If you die in your sins, you are forever lost. You can't recover. Somebody asked me one time, what's the unpardonable sin that they talk about in the New Testament? You die in your sins. You rejected the Holy Spirit. Blasphemy of the Holy Spirit is to reject the Holy Spirit that does what? Reveals the Word of God. You know, when I sit here and read this, I just turned to Jeremiah 6:21. When I read Jeremiah, you know what happens? As I read it, with my mind, the Holy Spirit reveals this to my heart. And if you reject the Holy Spirit that reveals the truth of God's Word, that is the power that saves. That's the power that saves. If you reject the Holy Spirit that is revealing the Word of God, the message of God to turn you from a zombie to a living, eternal being in the presence of God, and a child of God on top of that, if you reject that, it's unpardonable. You can't recover. You're forever lost. Your one chance to live is gone forever. You're not going to get to heaven and say, well, there is no well. It's over. You're done. You're lost. John 8:23. Here's his message. Jesus continued, you are from below and I am from above. You belong to this world. He's talking to us. He's not from Bethlehem, okay? He came through Bethlehem. He's not from Bethlehem. You're from below, you earth people. I'm from above. You belong to this world. Jesus says, I do not. That's why I said, you will die in your sins, for unless you believe that I am who I claim to be, you're going to die in your sins. So how can anybody believe the message, the word? How? God has to do it. I appreciate what he said. There's one thing in there that, besides the DNA, that really meant a lot to me. He said, you know how I relax? Because, you know, I can't imagine how many people hate that guy. The pressure he's under in that ministry. I mean, he built an ark in northern Kentucky. I mean, how many people think he's a nutcase? And he says he does the best he can after studying the Word of God, communicating the Word of God, and he sits back and lets God do what God does. Because ultimately, that's what I have to do. That's what you have to do. That's not a cop-out. That's not an excuse. That's an acknowledgement of the power, and it's not ours. It's his. But it's there through the Word. It's there. This Word transforms people's lives. We leave the rest to God, knowing what? Some will, some won't. I know somebody will come to me, and because they already have over the years, and say, you know, that's real easy to say, some will, some won't, but what if that one that won't is your son or your daughter? I don't know. I don't know. It's not my responsibility. You know what? I'd say pray. Cry out to God. Remember Jesus' story about the unrighteous judge that widow goes to, and she wears him out. She just wears him out. And the unrighteous judge, he didn't want to give her what she wanted, but he finally gave it to her because she wore him out. Just be that person. You got a son or daughter that's wayward and they're a zombie and they love being a zombie. Wear out God. Just wear him out. What is she going to do? Quit? Finally, Isaiah 55:10. The rain and snow come down from the heaven and stay on the ground to water the earth. They cause the grain to grow, producing seed for the farmer and bread for the hungry. It is the same with the Word. I'm going to hold it up. We have the cure to death itself. And I'm going to ask you, how much time did you spend reading this thing, studying this thing, memorizing this thing this last week? Goodness gracious, we've got this treasure. And he says it's the same with the Word of God. God says, I send it out. God sends it out. And it always produces fruit. It will accomplish all I want it to. And it will prosper wherever I send it. His Word does the job. Just preach it. Teach it. Believe it. Finally, there's two pictures on the bottom. And I love these pictures. And by the way, they didn't come from Kim Ham. They came from David Reagan, one of his last magazines. I want you to look at the one evolutionary on the left-hand side. The heading says, if the theory of evolution were true. Now, I want you to think about how common sense this issue is. If the theory of evolution were true, so if you go and look at the fossil records and you do archaeological digs around the world, people have been doing this for a long time, and you know what they will find? There are millions of monkeys. Okay? Everybody with me? Look at the bottom left. There are millions of those. If you go look at the archaeological records, just dig up places, you'll find monkey, 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 monkey. Okay? There's a lot of monkeys. Now, flash forward. If you were to go look in graveyards or go look in places that used to be graveyards and dig it up, guess what? You see human, 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 human. Now, if we descended from monkeys over thousands and thousands and thousands of years, and if we are right now all human, then you ought to be able to dig and find a whole bunch of those middle people. But you can't find one. Can somebody tell me why? Because it's not true. It doesn't make any sense. You know what they call it? Evolutionists or scientists call it the missing link. They're waiting to find one. Well, I'm going to tell you, you nutcase. If you only can find one, if you can only find one, you made it up. Because there ought to be millions of them. Because there were millions of monkeys and there's millions of people. If it is the bridge, there'll be millions in the middle. But you can't find them. And here's the last one. That picture on the right-hand side is Charles Darwin. Most of this monkey business came from him. That nutcase. And I want to quote. This is his quote, not somebody else's quote. His quote. Here's what he says. To suppose that the eye with all its imitable contrivances for adjusting the focus to different distances, for admitting different amounts of light, and for correction of spherical and chromatic aberrations could have been formed by natural selection. Anybody with me? To think that the eye and all its complexity could have been formed by natural selection seems, I freely confess, says Charles Darwin, absurd to the highest degree. What? You know what he's saying? I'll translate because those were a lot of big words. It ain't possible. Charles Darwin, but he proceeded to affirm the belief that it did. Why? Why? Listen, because if you don't use God's starting point, you will be forced to create your own. Because nothing else will make sense. So he had to create the monkey starting point. Even though he knows, and his own words are, there's no way that the complexity of the human eye could have ever come by natural selection. It's not possible. It's too complex. So what do we do? It's all well and good, nice information. What do we do? We go into all the world and we preach the gospel. We baptize them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. That's what we do. We communicate the message that turns zombies into children of God. We give life by giving them the Word of God. Father, thank you for your Word, this message that somebody gave to us. Somebody took a risk, built a church back in my father's generation. My grandfather's generation. Somebody took up offerings and built a building and hired a preacher and sent a missionary. And all this happened because the Word of God has traveled now through generations, setting people free, turning zombies into children of God. So, Father, may it not end in this generation. May we be the people that carry your Word to the next generation as we wait for your coming. In Jesus' name, amen.